Book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 1.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus.
Now here the word of God is saying, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Many people do not know this. There are some prophecy preachers will be telling you, we are not going to heaven, but the heaven is coming down for us. Bible doesn't teach this. Bible is teaching us that one day we have to leave this earth and we want to go to heaven. This earth is not for us. This world is not for us. Because Jesus Christ is coming very soon. So here is saying, holy brethren and partakers of the heavenly calling. How did we become holy? Every person is not a holy person. Holiness only comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no holiness without Jesus' blood. So when Jesus washes us with his precious blood, our sins are forgiven and washed and cleansed. And when we stand before God and God sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, he is saying to you and me, you are a holy man, you are a holy woman, you are the holy child because of Jesus Christ. That's why he is saying, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. If the person is not holy, he is not going to make it to heaven. Simple as that. Because the book of Revelation, it says, no unholy person will be entering into the kingdom of God. So the God is holy, and he wants his children to be holy, and only holy people will enter into the heavenly kingdom. So somebody say, I'm not holy, how am I going to go there? This is the place to make a decision to go to heaven. This is the place to call upon Jesus and say, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be like you. And he will make you like him. And then he says, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Then he says, Jesus Christ is not ordinary man. When you say apostle, is a chosen one, is anointed one. And when you say priest, in those days, priests also be anointed one. Nobody can go to the temple and start serving the Lord. He says if somebody is not anointed by God, they cannot come close to even holy place. And if they do, they will be killed. So here is saying Jesus Christ is the apostle as well as the high priest of our confession. We have to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and our leader. He is the one who can take us to heaven. Right now, Jesus Christ, you don't see with your eyes. But the word of God says he is a mediator between God and you. He is the not only priest, but he is the high priest. Verse 2.
Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house.
Now here is the comparison is given. He says, who was faithful to him that appointed him. As I said, Jesus Christ was appointed, Jesus Christ was anointed to do the works he did. When you say Christ, Christ is called anointed one. Christ is the one who gave his life for you and for me. So the word of God says, the Christ was faithful to God. There are many, many people came before Christ. All the prophets and even the Moses. We are going to compare Jesus Christ and Moses in this chapter. But the Jesus Christ is much faithful than Moses. Here he says, Moses also was faithful in all of his house. That means Moses was faithful in all of his house. Even the children of Israel, Aaron and Miriam, Moses was much faithful and much humble person than anybody else. But too, if you compare Moses and Jesus, Jesus is much more faithful than Moses. Then somebody said, what happened to Moses? Here already says, Moses was faithful. Moses was faithful to God, but Moses did not do everything what God told him to do. One time God told Moses to speak the rock and the water will come. And Moses disobeyed God and hit the rock twice. And that's the time God told Moses, you are not going to go to promised land because you disobey me. And someone would say, why in the world, if he hits the rock twice, what's wrong with it? One time God told him, Moses, hit the rock and the water will come. So he did and water came. This is the second time when the people are crying for the water. Moses knew, I hit the rock and water came. And now here God saying, just speak to the rock and the water will come. Moses supposed to believe what God says. Here he says he is faithful. He was faithful in the house of God. But at the same time, he did not believe that without hitting the rock, water would come. So he hit the rock twice. And somebody said, what's wrong with that? The word of God said that rock was Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read that rock was Christ. And the rock was Christ. When you Christ, you can only crucify Christ once. And the word of God says he died for you and for me once and for all. You cannot crucify Christ twice. So he hit the rock twice. That means crucifying Christ twice. And God did not appreciate it. And he lost the blessing of God not to reaching the promised land. Verse 3.
For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house.
Now here again saying, this man, what man is talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is much more glorious than Moses. Moses, God told him, build the tabernacle. And how the tabernacle he built, the word of God says, according to the heavenly pattern. And this was the vision God gave it to him. And he did exactly what God told him. So the Moses was faithful, but Jesus Christ is much more glorious. And he says, Moses built the house, but the God is the one who is the builder of the house. There is a scripture in Psalm 127.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain.
See, the word of God says, if the God is not building the house, the builder's building is in vain. If the God is not watching the city, watching your house, watching your property, then watchman's watching is in vain. So here the word of God is saying, Moses built the house. Moses built the tabernacle. Moses was a good man, faithful man. But the builder is God. Verse 4, Hebrews 3, 4.
For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God.
Again he's saying, each and every house is built by somebody. Contractors. And laborers, they build the house. We just read Psalm 127. But the God is the builder. If God is not building the house, the man cannot build. Some problem will come. Some people laid the foundation, they have the money or they want to build, but some problem comes, they cannot finish the job. Only God has to build your house. God has to bless your home. Otherwise, people can work hard, but if God is not in it, there is like a hole in the bucket or hole in the pocket. You make a lot of money, doesn't stay with you. So God has to be in it. So he says, overall, the God is the one is in control. He is the one building the house. Hebrews 3:5.
And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after.
Now again he's saying, the Moses really was faithful in all his house. How? As a servant. So he's trying to say, here, the Moses is the servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. That means somebody was coming after Moses, better than Moses, not a servant, but God himself, Son of God, as we read it in the Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, Jesus Christ was not the servant, but the Son of God. And the last days, God spoke to us through his Son.
God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
See, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not an ordinary person. The word of God says he has created everything. He is the express image of God. He is God himself. But he took a form of man for you and for me. He died on the cross of Calvary and he redeemed you and me. So the word of God is saying Moses is a good man. He is the servant of God. But somebody was better than him was going to come. And that was Jesus Christ. As I told you, Moses was called by God. He was doing God's work, but it was too hard for him. And he said to the Lord, Lord, this is too difficult for me. If you are not with me, if you cannot take me, if you cannot go before me, I want to die. Take my life. I don't want to live. God says, no, no, no. The people who commit sin, those are the people who will die. I'm not going to take your name off of my book. So one day, Moses started asking God, Lord, send somebody else. Go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 and start reading from verse 15 to 18. Here, saying to the children of Israel, you're not listening to me, but somebody is coming after me. You will listen. Start from 15.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him.
Now, here we read, the Moses said that there will be a prophet coming just like me. and you will listen to him. People were afraid of God. They didn't want to God talking to them. If you read the book of Exodus chapter 20, people start saying, Moses, we cannot hear God. It's too dangerous. You speak to us. We don't want to hear him. And when Moses was speaking to them, they don't want to hear Moses either. And so he said, now I want Lord to send somebody. And so God says in the verse 18, he says, God says, I will raise them prophet from among those people. And then they will listen to him. And the book of Acts says, if they don't listen to him, they will be punished. So the point I'm making here, Moses is just the servant. But the Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, God himself, came into this world to give you and me the message from his Father. And last week we learned, if you do not listen to his message, and if you do not obey him, we will have a great punishment. The word of God is saying, we should listen to Jesus Christ, because he is not an ordinary man, he is not a servant, but he is God himself. And when God is speaking to you, we should pay attention. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6.
But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
Now he's saying, but Christ as a son over his own house. As I said, Jesus Christ is not a servant. He is the master. He is God himself. And now he says, Jesus Christ is watching over the God's house. And he says, what is the God's house? Whose house are we? But in the book of Acts, he said, what kind of temple you are going to build for me? I do not live in the handmade temple. Now, if you see in some certain countries, if you go to India, they have beautiful temples. And they have their gods made with the silver and gold. And they have watchmen standing at the door to watching their gods. Why? Because if they don't watch, somebody will steal their gods. So here the word of God is saying, but our God doesn't live in the handmade temple where God wants to live. He wants to live in you and in me. That's what he's saying. Whose house are we? So we are the house of God. And how we can make this temple as the temple of God? Because God doesn't live in any other temples. If you go in America also, they have beautiful temples and beautiful golden cross and some people's beautiful statues. And sometimes you hear in the paper, somebody broke into the church and took the statue, took the golden cross. And some people say, shame on those people, they're taking it. We don't need a golden cross. We don't need any statues. God is not looking what kind of decoration we have. God is looking at your heart. Not outside, three-piece suit, or raggedy clothes. He doesn't care. He wants to see your heart. The word of God says, man looks the outward appearance, but the God looks into your heart. So what God wants, he wants your heart. He wants to come into your heart. So simple as this, if you want to be God's temple, then you simply say, Lord, come into my heart. I open my heart, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins, wash me with your precious blood, and make your home in me. The day you do, then you are the temple of God. God lives in you. Then what you do? If you have the temple of God, keep that temple holy. Keep that house clean. The word of God says, if somebody has the demons and the demons are cast out, then the house is clean. And then if that person does not make this house for a house of God, then what happens? The devil comes and brings many more demons and make his life much more miserable than before. So what does it mean? If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you invited Jesus Christ into your heart, devil goes out. And now this temple should be the temple of living God. But as soon as you say, I said, now Lord, I took you in my heart, now you stay out. I don't need you anymore, because now I was in the church and I received you. But now I want to go to bar, so you stay out of the bar. Go drink and everything. Then I will need you to help me to drive the car or something. So the word of God is saying, if you are the temple of God, keep that temple holy. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting from verse 16 and 17. This word is very important for the believers.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Now here is asking you a question. Don't you know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then if you say, yes, I am the temple of God, the Spirit of God dwells in me. If you have that kind of witness, then the verse 17, please read.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Now here is saying, if you give the answer, who is the temple of God? Don't you know you are the temple of God? And he say, yes, I am the temple of God. Then he's saying, if you are the temple of God, and if you start defiling or destroying my temple, then I will destroy you. And somebody says, how come? Don't I have the authority over my body? I can do anything I want. Who are you? You are a pastor? You are a minister? I thought you are a good man. Up to now you said, oh, you are the temple of God. And as soon as I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, then you're telling me if you destroy the temple of God, God will destroy you. This is not my word. This is the word of God. So he says, this temple is belong to God. You have no authority to destroy the temple. Only one way you can do, don't call yourself Christian. Be a Muslim, be Hindu, or be some other religious person. Then God is not coming in that temple. Then you cannot claim yourself is the temple of God. But if you are a child of God, then you are belong to God. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Now here again is a question. Don't you know that you are a temple of God, and the Holy Spirit lives in you? And now when God lives in you, that means you are not yours. You all belong to God. How you became God's property? Read the verse 20.
For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Now here he's saying, if you don't know you all belong to God, just think about Jesus. We were sinners. We were doing everything against God. And we had a problem. So we came to Jesus and said, Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior, because I'm suffering, I'm having problems. I want your help. He said, okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to wash you with my precious blood, and I'm going to purchase you from the devil's hand. Because devil is the one destroying you. St. John chapter 10 verse 10, he says, thief, the enemy, comes to kill, steal and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So the devil was destroying us. Jesus came, paid the price, and purchased you and me with his precious blood. So now we are belong to God. And he says, now whatever you do, you glorify God through your body, soul and spirit. We are belong to God. Let's go to book of Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
See, here he is giving an example. He says, I called my people out of Egypt. Egypt is called the sin, sinful land. They were there with all the people were doing idol worship, and they were not belong to God. God sent Moses as a deliverer, deliver them from the hand of enemy and the sinful land, and brought them out of the Egypt. But the word of God says they did not listen to me. They start doing everything wrong. They wanted to make the idol and start worshiping them when Moses went to get the commandments from God. When Moses comes, here these people are dancing in front of that golden calf. God wanted to destroy a whole generation. But God did not kill everybody because Moses prayed. And now Moses, when we came down and he got angry, to destroy that golden calf, he made the powder out of it. And do you know what did he did? He took that powder, put it on the water, and told these people to drink. And I was thinking, why did he do that? Taking that God, handmade God, the calf, he made the powder, put it in the water, and said, drink, everybody drink that. When they drank, what does it mean? Whatever you goes to your mouth, comes out with different way. So their God was that kind of dirty God. So the point he was making, that God was not able to save them, that God was not able to protect them, and they were foolishly worshiping that God. Not one day, 2 days, even though they were out and free people, but they were still bound in their heart. So here the word of God is saying, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So how people depart from the living God? Because of evil heart. If your heart is evil, then you do evil things. So we want a clean heart. We want the heart of God. So we have to say, Lord, give me a new heart. Go to the Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Now here is saying the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What does it mean? No one can change your heart. There is no medicine that you take that pill and you will never commit sin. Only way you can do, they can damage your brain And you would not know what good and what is bad. That's why the people, when they have a problem, they give you some kind of pills to forget the problems, and they take more pills and more pills. Finally, they kill themselves. The evil heart will take them to hell. So here it says, only God. Let's read a little bit further.
I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing.
So he says, God only knows your heart. Man doesn't know. You can stand in front of somebody and laughing and smiling and cursing him in your heart. The man will say, this person loves me. But only God knows the heart. So he says, when your heart condemns you, what you do? Go to God. Go to the first John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21.
For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things.
Now, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. So means, if your heart is condemning you, wait to God. Go to God. God is the one who created your heart. If this watch is broken, I go to the watchmaker. I don't go to the laundromat. Go to the watchmaker. The same way, if your heart is broken spiritually, no one can fix it. Now, some people go to psychiatric, psychologist, medical doctor. They do only outward work. They are not going to change your heart. If they try to take your heart and give you pig's heart, what would happen? You will die instantly. But the God can only change heart means what? He is changing inside out. Read the verse 21.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God.
So what he's trying to say, if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you have confidence towards God. Means you cannot go to God with a condemned heart. You can only go to him to ask forgiveness. But you cannot say to God, if I'm a sinner and if I'm living sinful life, why cannot take me to heaven? There are so many people are confused. You know what they say? Our God is a good God. Hell is only for the devil and devil's angels. We are not going to go to hell. We are all going to go to heaven. How? Are we going to go to heaven with a sinful desire and sinful life? No. If that's the way it is, then Jesus didn't have to come. Jesus came here to cleanse you and me with his holy, precious blood. He sacrificed his life for you and for me, so we can be holy. Without holiness, the word of God says, no man can even see the Lord. To see the Lord, you have to be holy. Without holiness, no one can even go closer to God. Okay, let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 13.
But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation.
See, here is saying, God has given us chance to listen. We just read in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3. These last days, God is speaking to you and me through his Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And now if the Son is not here in the bodily, but he is in the spirit. And now you and me are his mouthpiece. We are the one going to tell people and warn people they are going to hell. Somebody says, it's not my job. Now just think, the next door neighbor's house is burning. And you start standing there and laughing, not calling 911, not trying to go and rescue the children crying and everybody's crying inside. And you just standing there. He said, it's not my job. I'm not a firefighter. I'm just the ordinary man. And you stand there laughing and giggling. Finally, police will come and arrest you. Hey, what did I do? You that set the fire there. And that's why you're laughing. I didn't do it. Now, why didn't you call the police? Why didn't you try to do something? Even though you are innocent, you will be guilty. Same way, the whole world is on fire. It is our job to rescue them. They don't know. We have to tell them. You are going to go to hellfire. That's why I'm here. I am the voice of God. I am the servant of God. I'm here to tell you, don't go to hell. Jesus Christ has already prepared the way to heaven. So that's what he's trying to say. He says, while it is said today, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Means the people who are in the wilderness, they did not hear the word of God and they died in the wilderness. He said, don't do that. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Somebody will say, okay, I'll give up my bad habit tomorrow. I will give up my smoking or drinking tomorrow. I will be a holy person tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. I'll tell you, I'll give you an example, you know. There was a man, a grocery man. Somebody came and said, could you give me $10 worth grocery free or I can borrow from you? He said, read this sign. Today you pay cash. Tomorrow, grocery free. So he said, okay. He comes tomorrow. Sir, today I didn't bring the money. Can you give the grocery free? Read the sign. Today you pay. Tomorrow is free. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So he says, if you want to make a decision, make it today, amen, not tomorrow. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
This is the day. Call upon Jesus. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So I always tell people, whatever you want to do it today, do it now. And so the word of God is saying, do not delay like the other people in the wilderness they did. You have time to correct yourself, because those people, what they did, that was an example for us, to change us or change our life. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 16.
For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
See, here says, verse 17, he says, because of their sin. Then he says, verse 18, they did not believe. Verse 19, because of their unbelief. What happened to them? They were not able to go to the promised land. God called them from Egypt for sinful land, and he said, I'm going to take you where the milk and honey flows. And those people came, but they disobeyed God. And 40 years, they were wandering in the wilderness until each and every rebellious person died in the wilderness. Do you know when he sent the 12 spies to see the land? Joshua and Caleb, he said, land is good. We are going to get it. We are going to possess it. But the 10 people start saying, no, 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 no. Those people are so giant. We look like a grasshopper in front of them. So they are going to kill us. They got the bad news. People cried. And they took the bad news and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. You know that they went to see the land for 40 days. And now they wander for 40 years. For each day, they made a mistake. 40 days. And the word of God says their bodies were fallen in that land. And they died. So what the word of God is trying to say. This thing happened to those people. So we should learn the lesson. If somebody walking in front of you and there is a ditch and he falls in a ditch, what do? We go other way. Right? But if you say, doesn't matter, he was foolish man, but I'm a little wiser. I can go in a ditch and come back. And so the ditch might be much more deeper than he thought. He will be fool. So the wise person learns from somebody's mistake. And some foolish person keep on doing mistake and never learns. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9 to 11.
Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents.
Now here again is giving an example. In the wilderness, when they didn't listen, the serpent started biting them, and many people died in the wilderness. Verse 10.
Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer.
Now they murmur against Moses, they murmur against God, and because of their murmuring, they destroyed in the wilderness.
Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
See, now all of these things happen for an example to you and for me. So we have to get the lesson from them. If we start doing like those people did, we are going to be destroyed. Our God doesn't want you to go to hell. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world. Jesus Christ says, O heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. People do not have peace. They are suffering in different ways. Some people have sickness, disease. Some people have financial problem. Some people have their children's problem. Some people have the house problem or business problem. All kinds of problem. What Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me, you have so much heavy burden. But he said, learn of me, my burden is what? Light. And so when you come to Jesus Christ, he takes your heavy burden. And then he said, now I give my burden to you. What is his burden? He said, now you got saved, tell other people. Is that too difficult? No. It's not too difficult. When I got healed, I can tell somebody. When I got saved, I tell somebody. When I got saved, I was not sitting. I was going house to house and telling other people about Jesus. I start Bible study in my house and I was busy telling other people about Jesus Christ. Wherever I go. Other day I was just standing at that car repair man and there was another person sitting there. He says, I'm a Catholic. I said, doesn't matter, a Catholic or a Protestant. Jesus Christ died for everybody. Amen. So I said, you go to church, do you learn anything? He said, well, I don't learn anything in my church. I said, sir, if you have time, come and study with me. We are learning book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. He said, I'm going to come. So point I'm making, God has given us a light job to go and tell somebody. Just like I said, the house is on fire. Tell somebody, I want to rescue you. I want to save you. I want to protect you. And that's the kind of job he has given to you and me. But you cannot do, I cannot do, until we give our heavy burden to Jesus Christ and leave everything at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, I need help. He will help you. He will supply your needs. He will never allow you to die with a fear, anxiety, and go to hell. No, He did not come into this world to send you to hell. He came here to save you and me. So what you should say? Yes, Jesus, here I am. Take my life and change it. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord Jesus, you came here as the Son of God, but you took the death of the servant. You came out of the grave victoriously. And now we have hope in Jesus Christ. We are not going to go to hell. We are going to go to heaven. The devil is coming and destroying our life. But we rebuke the demonic forces coming against the children of God. Your word says, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Free from all the bondages. Free from all the sickness and disease. Free from the eternal hell. Free from the death and the death penalty. Thank you, Jesus. The work is done. Give us grace to receive you as our Lord and Savior. We commit our bodies, our souls, and our spirits into your hands because you purchased us with your precious blood. We belong to you. Give us grace to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.